Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The answer.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed Audrey last week. She did 3 hours, broke her in hard, and all the feedback I got was phenomenal. I listened to most of the show, and she just did a great job. So that means I can take some time off if I like. This segment is brought to you by Alpha Site Logistics, serving the Imperial Valley for over 20 years. They offer portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more. Call them at 760-352-8383 for your next event out in the desert. So you have a special guest on the line, I understand.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really happy. I've got Mike McGarity on the phone with us, joining us. Mike has some big news to share with us today, and then we got a couple other things we're going to go over that Corva has been working on and has coming up. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Doing great,
fantastic, buddy.
Fantastic.
Then... Also, we have right now, Ed Stoven is not in on the phone yet. He hopefully will be calling in. We're hosting an event today. We've been talking about it for the last couple months, Mountain Dash. It's a dual sport motorcycle event that started at Moda Forza this morning out in Escondido. So that was nice meeting up, seeing all the riders out there, checking out their bikes and their different
setups.
Oh, is
that where you went this
morning? Yeah, I was up at Moda Forza. And so that was fantastic. There's probably 50 individuals that actually registered, and then you've got the handful of volunteers. So I think we're about 65 riders out on the road today. They're doing the three peaks. We've got Palomar, Julian, and then Otay that they're going to be hitting. So it's approximately 155 miles. About half of it's paved, about half of it's dirt. So that's a nice little dual sport event that'll be wrapping up at Otay.
Some proceeds go to SDORC.
Yes, it's going to be split 50-50 between SDORC and the San Diego Adventure Riders.
Excellent. So. Did you swing a leg over?
I did not. Not this morning.
They're too short. You won't even touch the ground.
Hey, you know, last...
You've got a bike to ride.
Yeah.
This is Ed. I'm on.
Oh, hey,
yeah,
Ed.
I got that 100... I'm calling in. So I got that motorcycle you rode last week. You're welcome to use that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's plated. It's Honda 100XL. It's got a 200XR motor in it. So I was so anxious and nervous after last. We had to blow off some steam. So we went for, 20-minute, half-hour ride around his neighborhood and just real quick down to the dog park and back. It was really nice after last weekend. So
let's get back to Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, things are good. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate both of you for having me on today. This is great.
So you don't have enough on your plate, so you thought this would be fun and I'll pile some more on?
Well, a lot has been happening in the last 6 days for Corva, especially for me.
Yeah.
6 days ago, I found out that I need to transition from the VP of administration to the president of Corva. And so, if you guys want to dive straight into that, I can read the immediate press release that happened a week ago on Monday, and that'll kind of preface for, some of the conversation that we're going to be talking about today.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Take it away.
So for over 15 years, we had an active member on the board, Ken Clark. He was first the Northern Regional of California. He has spent the last 5 years as the president of Corva. Ken has offered his resignation a couple days prior to the press release. Came at us quite a surprise to the board. Ken attended countless events as the Corva representative, very proud of the work that he had done to help One of the things that he had done was help the OHMVR commission to become a permanent California commission, create side-by-side education in California during his tenure. Amy Grenat and the Corva Board of Directors, we truly deeply appreciate his dedication and years that Ken had served and given to Corva. All of you who know Ken, his infectious laugh, his huge smile, dedication to the defense of public lands will definitely be missed. We wish him the very best as he switches gears into the next chapter of his life. One of the things that Ken wanted to say, and quote, I'm stepping away from Corva with the hope that the association can get back to focusing on the challenging work of protecting OHV access and public lands. This is the mission that Corva has done for more than 52 years, and I hope to see this mission continue as I fade into the sunset. Happy trails until we meet again, unquote. So I would like to assure everyone, and especially the Corva members, the board remains fully committed to unifying and protecting the beneficial programs for off-road vehicle enthusiasts throughout California. The board remains committed to serving the community at large, providing awareness on matters concerning the safety, sound conservation practices, appropriate trail etiquette, and methods to effectively participate and interact in the formation of public policy. That's just not just a statement that we typed up out of the blue. That is in our bylaws. And so for me, who I've been the VP of administration for the past year, I transitioned into this presidency, and I don't take this lightly. I know that it's a, you know, it's a very important job, and you know, I come with a lot of different experience. I served as Cal4Wheel VP from 2017 to 2021. I feel that, you know, I've got the skills, the passion, this lifelong dedication to really fight and serve Corva well in this new role. So, again, it's only been 6 days since I was told that, hey, guess what? You get to fill these big shoes now, Mike. And so, and this comes at the same time that as the VP of administration, I'm responsible for, as the content editor for the Oriya, and we just sent that off to the graphic artist, and he's working on it for our summer edition. And Oriya is off-roaders in action. And I have to just say that, you know, Ed's on the call. Every board member, including Ed Stoven, we are off-roaders in action. And Corva is absolutely in action. There's so much going on. Our land expert, our VP of land resources and public policy is Bruce Witcher, and he put together a fantastic overview article in the Oriya that is several pages long of just everything that's happening in California. And so we've got a lot going on.
Well, you have to admit, Mike, you know, and not taking anything away from your talents, but it's a team. You know, it's not just you. It's not you having to carry the load. You know, you're just plugging another part in the puzzle of the team. And the team is what really makes all of this happen. So it's really, you know, just, you know, it's really a hats off to you, because, you know, the board would not have put you in this position if they didn't think you were worthy to be sort of the leader of the pack. But nothing's going to change. If anything, you know, maybe new ideas, maybe a little bit more enthusiasm will be punched into the program. But, you know, it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. And that's 100% correct. We have a big team. And we've got Amy Grenat as our managing director, who works way more than she is paid to do. Mm-hmm. She puts in a tremendous amount of hours focusing strictly on representing Corva in all of the levels of land advocacy in California, which everyone should know is, you know, with state parks, with BLM land, and with forests. And so it's a lot to keep track of. Sure. And we've got Amy, you know, carrying the load, focusing on that. And then now I transition in focusing on, you know, keeping all the pieces fitting together and all the wheels moving with this board. And, you know,
Can we hold that spot? We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere, Mike. This is STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
By the way, did you know Wayne Miller sponsors the crash truck out at Barona Speedway?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was out there hauling freight. I go, hey, there goes Wayne Miller. Oh, look, there goes a tire. Now I know why he's chasing that tire. But Wayne Miller is a great, great, great sponsor if you're looking for tires. They also do service. And Audrey even knows their number.
619-596-2800.
You are on the speed dial, right?
I actually is on my speed dial. Yeah.
As much time as you have trouble with tires. But, yeah, if you ever need, I don't care, from a small trailer to a tractor trailer, you name it, Miller can handle it.
Yeah.
All right, we were talking to Mike McGarity. He just was promoted to president of Corva. And, you know, Mike, just for a second, kind of explain to people that maybe have just tuned in and they don't know what Corva is.
So, sure. So Corva's been around for over 52 years, and Corva is the California Off-Road Vehicle Association, and we literally do more than represent vehicles, in my opinion. We actually, I think, represent anybody and everybody in California who wants to access their favorite camping ground, their favorite fishing spot, their favorite rock climbing area that they want to rock climb. We have hang gliders who have to use and access Forest Service roads to get to where they're going to go. I feel that Corva represents all of these different groups, even if they don't have a OHV, an off-highway vehicle, or a side-by-side or a motorcycle, just wanting to get to their trailhead to go backpacking. Most of the times they are on a Forest Service road or they're out on BLM trails, which Corva advocates for, fights for, continues to, you know, monitor all the meetings, everything that's happening and what's going on, and then write comments and are actively participants in the whole, if it's a revision, Forest Service goes through different revision plans, or if it's public meetings where state parks is, you know, wanting to, you know, tweak access or do something different or, you know, et cetera. So Corva is actively engaged and involved in every aspect. As soon as you get off of the pavement and get to either dirt, gravel, or anything that says not a county maintained road, or that's what Corva fights to maintain and gives everybody access to, not just, you know, not just OHVers, Jeepers, or motorcycle riders. I mean, recently we've, in the past couple of years, have been really working with snowmobile riders as well, because their, OSV, over snow vehicle travel, has been really targeted by environmentalists, stating that, even though they're just, you know, traveling across snow, they're making claims that it's somehow damaging the environment. So.
Well, of course it is. All the snow bunnies are out there scared snotless because this big snow, it just drives me absolutely crazy. It's like they sit around and they say, okay, who are we going to go after? Who are we going to close? What can we take away now?
Yeah.
But thank God for Corva. And now for the general public, if they want to help support you guys, what's the best way?
Oh, it's super, super simple. It's just corva.org. When you click on that website, you'll see it'll talk about, you know, there's the menu, you know, about us and about the different levels of sponsorship for businesses. But then for members, we got individual membership. It's only $40 a year. It's super inexpensive.
Yeah.
And even if somebody, you know, doesn't want to commit to the $40 a year, everything on there, you know, you can click and look and read everything that the membership receives if you want to, you know, just be able to, you know, be educated. All of our RIAs are there as PDFs, so you can open it up and you can read everything that's happening. Of course, we, you know, if we help you, we want you to help us and help us, you know, be able to do what we do. The membership, you know, is exactly how we pay for the RIA between membership and some of these events. And what's pretty amazing about CORVA is we have groups out there who affiliate themselves because with CORVA because they believe in what CORVA does. They put on events that 100% of their proceeds go back towards CORVA.
Wow.
And it's just amazing to see that. You don't really see that with any other type of, you know, organizations, associations. And so that just speaks volumes on, you know, I believe on the success of CORVA and what we've done in the lives of a lot of these off-roader enthusiasts, you know, statewide. So,
yeah, no, I mean, it's all about, you know, and for who was I talking to the other day? I says, quit complaining. Join an advocacy group. Help out. Yep. Throw a couple bucks at them. Volunteer.
Yep.
But just quit complaining. I don't want to hear about it.
I mean, become a member, and once a month you get an email, and, you know, maybe twice a month, but it has pertinent information. This is what's going on. This is open for public comments.
Right.
We need you to comment on this. This is what we suggest you put, and or how you write it, and who you need to send it to, and here's a link so you can submit it.
And by the way, Mike, I'm not the guy you'd want to help promote. I was working with the Burn Institute. And to raise awareness and money, I would have you hold your hand out, and I'd lit a lighter and burnt your finger. And then I told him, no, think about it. I'd say, does that hurt? They go, God dang, that really hurt. I said, well, imagine a little 8-year-old kid with 80% of his body burnt.
Yeah.
Give me some money.
Yeah.
So right. They said, no, Dave, that's a little too over the top.
That's a little hardcore, huh?
Yeah. You can't be burning people. It's not really a nice thing to do. But I did raise a lot of money, I got to tell you. It was awesome. But, no, we got to get you guys back down into San Diego for KUSI whenever you're doing a major event. And we love what you do with SDORC. And, you know, and that's one thing about, you know, the off-road community. I mean, it just has to be as a unit. All right, so is he staying the rest of the show, or are we going to let him enjoy the rest of his Sunday? Because I can bet he's got homework.
He does have homework, but I think you have a couple of upcoming events.
Oh, yeah, talk about those, and then we'll get to Ed, because I know he's sitting on a mountain waiting to roll off.
Well, we did. I would like to share with everyone that we are updating our bylaws. One of the big things that we had to update here recently was the ability to have electronic meetings. Believe it or not, with the whole COVID, everything, all of our meetings went to an electronic style. And then due to our board members being so far apart in distance, I mean, we've got a lot of miles between all the board members. Now we can, according to our bylaws now, we can meet virtually. Members from all the state can join us. We're working on the language to allow a blended type of meetings, but the board of directors now, according to our bylaws that just got passed at our annual meeting a couple weeks ago, we can hold meetings by means of remote communication, participation in the meeting held by remote communication, which also constitutes a presence in the person in the meeting. So that's good stuff. I would like to talk a little bit to the business sponsors who are out there.
Definitely.
We do have a handful of great, amazing business sponsors. If a business is in any type related to off-road use, or even businesses that cater to people who, like I mentioned earlier, who are accessing their favorite fishing spots or camping areas, CORVA could really use and you know, appreciate the help from the businesses. So again, on our website, CORVA.org, there's opportunities for businesses to join different levels of sponsorship, starting at just $1 a day, which is $365 a year, you know, up to a platinum level, which is $1,000 a year. And we just brought on Clausen Motorsports as a platinum sponsor out of Fresno. We've brought on Trail Gear as a platinum sponsor out of Fresno. You know, go be it. I live in Madera. I work in Clovis, so Fresno is right here. So, yeah, all of my local areas. I'm going to be reaching out to a lot of the businesses. We brought in another a startup company from a great couple named Skull Hunters 4x4. And we're bringing in a lot of clubs also. A club, if they want to become a Corva club, it's $400 a year. But if they've already got 10 Corva members in their club, they can automatically qualify as a Corva club. All they have to do is just reach out, you know, to us. And they can send an email to info@corva.org, or they can just get on the Corva website and then express an interest in becoming a Corva club. A lot of clubs, surprisingly, they've got 10, 15, 20 Corva members, and they're not a Corva club because they didn't realize that it's, all they got to do is just say, hey, we've got all these, you know, members. A lot of people become members of Corva, and they don't affiliate themselves with their local club, and then come to find out, you know, their local club qualifies to be a club, and there's a lot of other perks and benefits behind doing that as well. So
since you have nothing else to do, you need to get like a map of California, and every city, you know, you should find a representative that goes to the local bike stores, you know, the apparel stores, you know, the four-wheel parts stores, the off-road warehouse stores, and you should send somebody in every state to go out and canvass that particular city, and then the city representative that gets the most wins something.
So I'm glad you brought that up, Dave. So we do have field representatives, and we can have as many field representatives as we possibly can have.
There you go.
If anybody is like, you know what, I don't want the commitment of being a, you know, a board member. I don't want this and that, but you know what, I can be a field representative for Corva. Reach out to us, you know, and you know, send me an email. It's mike.mcgarrity@corva.org. You can send it to info. A lot of you know how to get a hold of us. You can find me on Facebook, but be a field representative. That is fantastic, because if you're already in the city and you know in your certain town or city, you know, location, you've got all these different shops that could benefit from us. And benefit and help Corva, and then Corva can help them. You know, it's one big family, right? We need to unite.
That's
we need to, you know, join arms, and we need to be, you know, kind of crazy to say this, but we've got to take a play from the environmentalist playbook. They all join forces. They all interlock. They all help each other, and they all band together. And that's exactly what I'm going to be working on doing. Because it needs to happen.
Well, see, that's why you're the president. All right, so I'm going to go on the website. I'm going to take a look at that, and maybe I'll take my lighter and go see what I can do. All right, we got to get out of here, Mike. One more thing.
Well, I was going to say, are you going to come back for the next 15 minutes? I did want to talk e-bikes and
yeah.
And then we'll... We want to talk Oceano.
And Oceano, yes.
All right, cool. Then let's do that. This is STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by S&S Off-Road Magazine. Man, if you have not checked that out, you are missing. S&S is the best. SSORM.com, SSORM. That sounded like a rhyme, huh?
It did.
S&S is the best. I'm going to have to tell her that that's a new logo. But anything and everything you want to know about the off-road community, that's where you go. They're online. You can join. It's super inexpensive. And Steve and Sherry just do a phenomenal job. So check them out. That's www.ssorm.com. All right. We've been talking to Mike McGarrity. He's just now the new president of Corva. And Audrey had some questions. We want to talk about Oceana Dunes. I see you have a new sticker on your car.
I do.
Yeah.
I found it. And Jared and Mike gave it to me like a year ago at an expo, and I just found it in one of my bags.
So how is it going up there? I mean, is the fight still a fight?
Yeah, it's still quite the fight. Friends, you know, I'll kind of switch hats here. I'm also on the board for Friends of Oceana Dunes, and Jim Sudi and the board, especially Jim, he puts in a tremendous amount of hours. Him and Tom Roth, the lawyer for the Friends Oceana Dunes, they are constantly battling. What has just recently happened was, which we're pretty stoked about, is we filed a lawsuit which is specifically pointing out the Air Pollution Control District and repaying money that they had taken and spent on, let's just say, bogus research and stuff that later found out in court that they shouldn't have been doing. And so they have to they're supposed to repay this money. It's like close to $1 million.
Well, I mean,
That's a lot of zeros. You know, that was taken out of the OHB.
Yeah. One of the ones
taken out of the OHB trust fund.
One of the ones that really upset me on this was a couple years ago, they took the front, what was it? They took away 500 camping permits, and then they fenced off another, 45 or 50 acres in the front, right where, when you get the king tides and stuff, those fences, water comes into the fence line, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And then when they did that and they added those fences, they didn't do the environmental assessment or any of the other things. That's why when the king tide happened, it came up into that area. And had they not done that, it would be totally different. If they actually filed the environmental impact report and did what they were supposed to do, those fences wouldn't be put up yet. It'd be another 2 years down the line because they have to follow the scientific report, make sure that it wouldn't affect anything. And yet here we have it still closed, still minimized down to 500 permits instead of the 950 that it was. And we still don't have access to that area. It's exciting to me to see what's going to happen with that, if we are going to be able to get that money back and have it go back into the OHV fund, would be phenomenal.
Well, like anything else with dealing with us, Oceana Dunes, State Parks, California Coastal Commission, APCD, every layer of bureaucracy, and it takes a lawsuit in order to get anything to change, anything to happen. Other agencies, areas, we can work in collaboration and be successful in doing that. But, when we got the Coastal Commission when that Coastal Commission got this heavily involved in the Oceana Dunes, it was a major change. And you're talking about all the areas. So that Four Dune area, was basically, in my opinion, railroaded in there. It literally like overnight without even a due process and it even happening. And you're absolutely correct. I have made ever since that has been put in, I've made many comments to the state parks and in their meetings. I've made many comments about how camping has dramatically been impacted, and safety is a huge concern because people can only pull their trailers up so far to those fences without either getting stuck in the deep sand. And so they stay close to the ocean side, and then the big tides come in and wipe out their camps. Or if that's not, concerning, because who cares about the campers, whether they get flooded out or not, you've got all these people that are still trying to drive between the water and the campsites. And a lot of times they're literally driving right on top next to the trailers where children are playing, where people are walking. And, there's absolutely no rhyme or reason to the exact placement on where they put those fences. And this is not just a temporary fence. I mean, this is like wire fencing that you can't just, let's just move them a little bit to give us a little more room. They have to go in there and do something about it. The bad thing is that they have went in there and brought in and tried to vegetate that area. And when you put a plant out there or a bush, the wind blows sand around the bushes. So now it's creating all these little mini dunes, and it's becoming its own little ecosystem. So guess what? What are they going to say for justification on why they you know, did it and why they need to keep it there. Well, because now, you know, it has become part of the ecosystem. They've, you know, they did it intentionally, knowing what'll end up happening. It is a shame. Our writing area, the SBRA is 3,500 acres. We're down to 1,100 acres of writing.
Wow. That's so sad. That's so sad.
And you know, the selfish thing for state parks, I don't think they're ever going to completely close it, because if they do, then they'll be out of the OHV trust money. So, again, my opinion only, I think that they're going to probably take that down to like maybe 400 or 500 acre, a little OHV riding park in the sand, and drastically limit. And as long as they keep just a little bit of the acres for OHV, then they'll be able to still continue to tap into the OHV trust money. But, you know, we just got to continue to fight in court against that. We've had some positive victories where the environmental groups have tried to band together to discredit some of the other lawsuits that have been filed, and the judge is like, no, we're going to, we're going to see our day in court. In other words, they've even tried to close Pier Avenue down before the closure of the park, and thankfully, the judge has said no, because right now everything is locked up in lawsuits, yep. So we're not going to make any changes to that. And what's going to happen when Pier Avenue, if they end up closing that for OHV access, the retailers and the restaurants that are left there are going to be left to fend for themselves. It's just, the businesses are going to be heavily impacted, but
yeah, they survive off of the OHV community coming in to visit. I mean, especially during the summertime. The summertime, when everybody else says, oh, it's not the season, that's the main season to travel up and go to Oceano Pismo Beach, because you have the cooler weather for the beach right there. You have everybody from the inland, Central Valley. Everybody comes to Oceano to get access.
Hey, let's cancel gambling in Vegas and see what happens.
Right.
So did you see the latest thing was... the Oceano Dunes City Council, Oceano, not Dunes, but Oceano City Council, wants to close down that little airport that's there. You know, where all the little biplanes take off and they give rides and to people and stuff.
What?
They want to close that airport down. And so the city council has repeatedly said that they don't want that oil refinery that was closed down to be turned into an OHV camping and access area for the dunes, because I believe that they want to go in there and they want to revitalize that whole area. They want to come in with big resort-type hotels. And I believe now they're targeting the airport because they want to also expand and make the airport area into this resort. And they're not saying it yet, but, you know, we've heard little whispers of, investment firms and people and real estate firms who are chomping at the bits, you know, pushing for the closure of the OHV so they can go in there and make it some crazy resort destination, which is going to dramatically change the whole entire area. So,
yeah, you know, I think half of that draw would be having the OHV park there. What are the people going to do? What are they going to offer them to go out and go do?
You're going to
tell me people hike into that? I mean,
no, they've got a plan.
There's all these alternative motives, and I've said it before, and I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record, but, you know, I don't think that closing the OHV park has anything to do with the OHV to the environmental impact that OHVs are having on the sand or and the wind and the little birds or any of the vegetation. It's an attack on this type of lifestyle that we and all the listeners of your radio show enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
This is our lifestyle. This is something that we go and we do. It's part of our life. It's part of who we are.
Yeah.
And
hey Mike,
attack on us.
What happens when a racetrack closes? You'll never see it again.
Yeah.
And the big land developers come in. If you go, you don't come down much, but Glen Helen?
Helen,
it's surrounded by homes.
Yep.
And here's this little patch of land where you can go off-roading. I mean, it's a racetrack.
Yeah. Yep.
And those guys, it's day by day, and it's all about money, and it's all about, you know, putting us in little boxes and, you know, behave ourselves.
Well, before we have to take a break on real quick, though, I want to just do the Air Pollution Control District meeting. One of the where you can go and make comments is coming up this week, Wednesday, May 18th. The Air Pollution Control District is going to be speaking about Oceano Dunes on this meeting. It is Wednesday, May 18th. There is a Zoom. You can go onto the Zoom and register for it. It is on the Fringe of Oceano Dunes Facebook page and Instagram, and the Off-Road Coalition will be sharing it as well. But that one is definitely one that we need people to register, speak. If you can't register and speak, if you're at work, you can email your comments. They are still counted. And we need more people to speak up and get involved. You know, we have the same handful of 10 to 15 yep. OHV representatives, and we're going up against 100, 150 environmentalists,
if not more,
speaking on their opinion and sharing theirs. So, with that, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come right back after this.
Mike, we'll let you go. Thank you very much, and congratulations. And like I tell Audrey, my first hour makes me mad, and my last 2 hours make me mad because I do a gun show as well. So I know your pain, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time. Thank you, guys.
All right. Hey, we're going to have to take a quick break. You're listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer. I just wanted to say thank you one more time for Mike McGarity, for him calling in on behalf of Corva, our new Corva president. I'm really excited to
join, see what he's
going to bring forward. Yeah. Ken's absolutely amazing and great. Ken Clark spent many years on it, but I'm really happy that Mike's able to take on the position, and I'm really happy. I'm excited to see what he can bring forth and what changes will happen with Corva.
Fantastic. All right. Yeah. With that, we've got Ed Stoven. Where are you, Ed?
Hi, I'm at my house. Oh. I live halfway between the beginning and the end of the event. So I just stopped at Smart and Final. I bought a bunch of drinks and some snacks. And as soon as we hang up, I'm going to head down to Pio Pico and start getting it set up down there.
So
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, go ahead.
Had a good turnout.
Yeah,
had
yeah.
A good turnout for the event.
50 registered riders, and then with the volunteers, I think there was just over 60, maybe 65 riders altogether to go out and do the route today. Super excited. Got our permit from the county.
Get any new people to join up with the group?
We got some brand new people that haven't ridden with that group, didn't really know what San Diego Off-Road Coalition is. But they wanted to go on a motorcycle ride and meet some people.
Cool.
Some new people.
Got a couple new members for the Off-Road Coalition, so I'm a happy camper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One kind of cool thing that came out of it is the San Diego Adventure Riders has needed someone to work on their website. And a guy came in, contacted us last month and said, yeah, I'm a rider and I'm a website guy and I'd be happy to help you.
Mm. Oh, that's fantastic.
We're super. Jesse, did you meet Jesse that came down there?
Yeah. Jesse was setting up everybody's GPS with Randy. He was really nice. He was loading the GPS onto everybody's bikes because we didn't go out and it wasn't going to be like a huge group ride. So all 50 weren't going out at the same time. It was you arrive, you register, sign up, and then, you know, you and your group can, once you have the route, just take off and do it. One, on the dirt roads, you don't want that dirt kicked up in your face behind you, and you don't want that large of a group to be going at one time. So I don't think we had more than 20 riders go out at one time
That's plenty.
But yeah, the first two that went out, I think one was about 20, and the next group was about 15. And then other than that, I think five and five and five went out after that. So it was nice. It was really exciting. I'm happy to see that it's coming together really good. People were really excited to didn't know about the back roads from Ramona to Descanso, didn't know, you know, that they could go to Otay. One of the guys I talked to lives down by Otay and has never done it and didn't know. And he owns a house right there in Eastlake. So I was like, wow,
you're
5 minutes from it, man. That's an awesome ride for you. So.
Well, that's the reason people should join these groups, because it really expands, you know, the ability of what's here in Southern California.
Yeah.
You know, one of the main reasons we did this is, months ago, we talked about the Border Patrol wanted to close the road, the dirt road that goes over Otay Mountain, that had illegal activity there. And so we reasoned that if the Bureau of Land Management had a permit application in hand, that would give them some more leverage to fight to keep it open. Mm. So the Border Patrol has asked Pio Pico to close the gate. So they've closed the gate at the bottom, but they will give anybody the combination to the lock. So don't tell anyone, but it's 1924 is the combination. Wait, are we on the radio now?
Yes, we are. And
wait,
you
what?
Will be in jail.
1924 to unlock the gate?
No, it's 1924.
Wait.
So I'm going to head over there, and I'm going to open the gate and swing it open and leave it open for the guys.
But isn't that it? Is it 1924?
Yeah, it's
4.
It's 1924.
Oh.
1924 is the combination.
Yeah.
So they're working with us and allowing people to go through there. The problem is that bad guys were picking up illegal travelers, people coming up across, and they're walking across where there's no wall. Do you remember a few years ago there was a big hubbub about putting a wall along the border?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a section over by the mountain there that it's hard to put a wall. Not impossible, but it's hard, and so they didn't put a wall. Mm-hmm. And people are simply walking across, and they get picked up on the mountain, and then the guys who pick them up go out this trail that we love. And there's been some chases and some accidents, and mm-hmm. the Border Patrol don't like that. And so instead of putting somebody there, they want to just close the route.
Yeah,
just
the particular
much
section.
Loved route.
Yeah, which it goes from the top of the hill near Doghouse Road and the top. It tees down and goes down to Pio Pico. So you can enter one way and exit the other and vice versa, enter at Otay and go through and exit off of Maroon Valley Road by the South Bay Rod and Gun Club on the other side. But the particular section is called Minnewawa Trail. It's like 2.5-3 mm-hmm. miles, and it gets narrow and has a couple of really sharp 105, not exactly 180, but really sharp turns where it's a narrow road, a blind corner. You can't see if somebody's coming or not, and there's been a couple of incidences, especially when they are trying to detain somebody that is speeding around those corners and has a vehicle full of, illegals trying to get through there. So, I mean, I get what the Border Patrol, why they want to, but I don't agree with it, because once it's shut down, I mean, I grew up hunting out there. You know, I was a part of the Hamul Pheasant Club, Ducks Unlimited, the whole nine yards, and we went out and we would hike back from almost like where Barrett Junction Cafe is. There was trails that would go all through there. You could jump on your dirt bike and ride through and out, and you could go almost all the way to where George Bailey's, the state prison, is. And there was a lot of trails back there. Now all of those trails are closed. They'll never be reopened again,
right.
All because of this.
Yeah, once it's closed, it's never reopened.
Yeah, once it's closed, it doesn't. Yeah, the battle is ridiculous. So
exactly.
This one, hopefully, we with this event we're putting on, they're aware of it. We had to pull the permit, so the Bureau of Land Management knows, the county knows that we're doing it. The Border Patrol has to be aware of it as well, and bringing attention to it. One, we hosted the cleanup in September, and now we're hosting another event. Here we are in May.
Mm-hmm.
It allows the agency to know that there are a lot of people that are interested, active users, stakeholders that don't want to lose that area.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's a tough fight.
Yeah. One of the other things that I wanted to mention this week that is coming up is the Off-Highway Motor Vehicle Recreation Commission of State Parks, our OHMVR division. They have a meeting this coming Friday, May 20th. You can register and partake online. It is also going to be at the actual in-person this time. Actually, up in Sacramento, at the Four Points by Sheraton in Sacramento, near the International Airport. They are going to be doing a tour of the Mammoth Bar OHV Recreation Area on May 19th, and then also speaking about that. If you are interested in this, please register, become active. You can make comments on a couple of other things. They do have their agenda posted for Friday's meeting. It is definitely important to be active and be involved. They are going to be working on a couple of reports. One I just posted this week is Heber Dunes, which is here in Imperial Valley out by Holtville near the Brawley Rodeo. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and you just run in. It's about 400 acres of some small dunes. It's a nice area if you've never been in the sand dunes. You don't know how to ride the dunes. You're getting new into riding.
And you don't want to get lost.
You don't want to get lost, yeah, because you can't really get lost there.
Yeah, it's a small place. I've ridden there.
Yeah, it's a small place.
They're doing a habitat plan out there, which I think is weird because I don't think there's a lot of native plants in there. There's a lot of eucalyptus that's not indigenous. And
yeah.
What's funny about the place is it's completely surrounded by farms. There's this one big sand dune area that they never farmed, and it used to be just sort of a party spot. And I don't know, around 1980, they made it into an off-road park, and it's kind of neat. It doesn't have a lot of cultural value or biological value, which is one of the reasons they made it an off-road park. It's just a big pile of sand and some trees. So I haven't opened the plan yet, but I'm interested to see just what they found and what they think is important over there.
Yeah.
So in the coming weeks, we'll report on that.
Yeah, it's a 30-day comment period open until June 9th, I think, is when it's open till. And so they have a wildlife habitat protection plan currently in place. It's been in place for the last 20 years, and now they're updating it. So it kind of, it sunsets, and they're going to have a new operating plan for it or wildlife protection plan for it. So, but there are several things, become active, speak up, get involved. CORVA, California Off-Road Vehicle Association, San Diego Off-Road Coalition, we're membership organizations. Your $25 literally pays to help us keep places open. Mike doesn't get paid for doing his job. We're all volunteers.
So chip in and help out.
Yes.
Audrey, can you believe it's only an hour? You can go home. All right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
That was great.
Yak Radio right around the corner talking Porsche Macon. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer. We'll be doing this till 6 in the morning. Nothing wrong with going all night long. Tough to put the brakes on. Doesn't matter when you'd rather get up and go out. Me and all my friends, we'll dig up, we'll fall down. Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego. This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.